In the film Hollywoodland, which just came out on DVD, Ben Affleck plays the man who played the Man of Steel. George Reeves, the actor who starred in the 1950s TV series Superman, sought fame, but he wanted it through movies, not through playing a superhero in a TV series for kids. The success of Superman took him by surprise, but also, according to the film, made it difficult for him to break out of the role into other parts. Terry Gross spoke with Ben Affleck last fall. His other movies include Chasing Amy, Dogma, Shakespeare in Love, Pearl Harbor, Armageddon, and Good Will Hunting, which he co-wrote with Matt Damon. Let's start with a scene from Hollywoodland, just after Reeves has gotten news from his agent. He's telling the news to the woman with whom he's having an affair, the wife of an MGM executive. She's played by Diane Lane.
Art got a call. They're picking up Superman.
They're what?
Kellogg's.
Bought it.
After 2 years?
That's right. I will be on television in a month, wearing brown and gray underpants.
Well, hooray!
Christ.
Well, maybe it wasn't your proudest moment.
No, I'm quite sure it wasn't.
But you did create a very likable, very attractive, very heroic character.
Is that right?
I'd give it a second.
Well, one thing we can be sure of. No one with a lick of sense would watch that show.
Ben Affleck, welcome to Fresh Air. When you got the part of George Reeves and you went back and watched again old episodes of Superman, what things about his acting did you notice that you'd never noticed before? Things that you wanted to do too when you were portraying him?
Well, there were a number of things. You know, chief among them was that he had a real sort of a real charm, and it was a kind of a kindness to him, and a kind of sweetness that I think is what kids responded to. And I don't think it's something that you can really fake, that he seemed to have a really good heart and that he enjoyed this idea and played with this kind of fundamental central underlying element of the show that made it, I think, really good at what it was that like, he was sharing this experience with kids, that he was sharing his secret with them and kind of, I mean, sometimes quite literally winking at the audience.
One of the things I think you capture about him as Superman is the way he'd kind of almost plant his feet on the floor, shoulders back, and almost like military style posture, and then put his like hands on his hips.
There was no, one of the nice things about the period is that there wasn't a lot of pretense, you know. Nowadays, we have a kind of, our heroes have to also be sort of slouching and conflicted.
Exactly.
And have the weight of the world on their,
right.
And this, there was no pretense to that. It was like he was Superman. He was proud and strong, and he had his hands on his hips, and he looked out into the middle distance because he was strong and he was going to protect people. It wasn't, you know, this whole idea of like the hero now in movies and stories is, you know, doesn't want to have the curse of these powers, you know, and
yeah.
He had no such qualms. And even the kind of acting and the behavior style of the 1950s, if you kind of read further into it, there was kind of a presentationalism that was present in acting, which was a kind of self-conscious way of saying, I know I'm about to sit on this couch and smile at this woman, and I'm going to do so in a way that I hope is kind of endearing, you know, like Spencer Tracy, for example, did that really well, or Clark Gable, you know.
And there was even a more formal style of speaking in movies, no matter how informal the characters were supposed to be. And all of this is not your generation's style of acting. So do you feel like you had to change your style of acting and not be conflicted and be more presentational?
Well, playing him in a way, I mean, obviously people still felt the same thing. So one of the things I thought was really interesting about this character was he was a guy who had the same conflicted feelings. In fact, I think George had a tremendous amount of sadness, maybe depression. Definitely he was an alcoholic, probably addicted to pain pills by the end of his life. And he was a very ambitious guy who suffered from the kind of thwarted ambition and the continuing humiliation that offered. So here's a tremendous amount of pain and difficulty, and yet he's living in a world that really where you have to kind of stiff upper lip and, you know, be gracious and still kind of be charming, because anything less than that is to admit a kind of unimaginable and terrible defeat. So I thought there was something really dramatically interesting. And on the one hand, having a guy who's full of agony and pain, but on the other hand, has to put on a good face.
But when you're playing him as an actor on the set acting,
right,
you have to
as
go
Superman,
into a different, yeah, as Superman, you have to go into a different acting style.
Absolutely. And one of the things I did to research that was really interesting is rather than just watching him, I watched all his movies, I listened to all his stuff, I watched home videos, I talked to people who knew him. I went through the kind of, you know, the regular steps that you would take, obviously, researching somebody. But additionally, I thought, you know, here was a guy who was ambitious and kind of wanted to be other people, right? There's a line where he says he'd like to have Clark Gable's career. He is influenced in a way, not as much by who he actually is, but by who he wants to be. So I watched a lot of these movies at the time to see what were the things that he would be emulating. What were the styles that he would be trying to affect in his own performance? And so in effect, I tried to emulate those as he would have. And in doing, I think, ended up with that same kind of style, which, you know, was popular in the 50s, which was to speak really fast. You know, movies would be a lot shorter now if they had that 50s kind of clip of like, say, fella, what do you know? Nothing, chum. I don't know. Hey, back from the war? I sure am. Smoke camels. They're milder. It was like just, you know, very kind of repetitive kind of zipping through your lines. And, you know, picking up on that and playing with that was really fun for me because it was so completely counter to the sort of ultra tape recorder realism, naturalistic style of our time.
What did it feel like to actually put on the famous tights and the famous cape?
It was daunting to a certain extent. We were really concerned with realism in the sense that we wanted to be really consistent with how they did it, particularly in that show, particularly when we were filming, you know, scenes that had to do with either him as Clark Kent or him as Superman, because everybody, you know, who watched the show obviously would have a pretty strong sense of what looked real and what didn't look real, what was, you know, jived with their memory and their sense of how it was, you know, done. And so one of the things I was able to do, there's a television kind of archive memorabilia people here, so have a museum, and I'm forgetting their name, which is a shame because I really appreciated what they did. But anyway, he came by, brought the actual suit that George wore and the rubber foam, you know, muscle suit underneath, and let me not only wear it, you know, not only touch it, but, you know, put it over my head and look at it. And that was a really kind of surreal moment where I was like sort of reaching out and touching the actual clothes that he wore, and you could see all these sweat stains and the thing, and you understood why it was so oppressive. He complained bitterly about it. And as he got more control, interestingly, later on in the series, there was much less of Superman and much more of Clark Kent. He would get these rashes and he would sweat, and, you know, he drank all day while he was doing the show because he was so miserable. And so then he would start to sweat the alcohol, which would like break down the foam rubber, and it was just a disaster. And the outside of the suit, you had this rubber that didn't breathe, and then the you know, tights, as it were, was basically just a wool sweater that was knitted, you know, with the S on it and everything else. And, you know, that combined with the fact that the film was so incredibly slow back then, it needed so much light to be dumped on in order to be able to see, that, you know, they had these giant, incredibly hot lights. And also they hadn't figured out the technology of keeping lights cooler. So he literally roasted in this outfit. And I wanted to get a kind of a sense of that because everything I read about him, they talked about how incredibly oppressive this outfit was. And I thought that was kind of nicely and, you know, if not too obviously, representative of how onerous he found, you know, playing Superman, and the whole experience was kind of a burden on him.
The film isn't a comedy, but one of the funny lines in the movie is after he puts on his suit for a promotional appearance, he says, and before he walks out and meets his audience of children in this promotional appearance, he says to somebody after putting on the costume, "Is my penis showing?" And I thought, this is exactly the kind of thing that everybody always wondered if he thought about, you know? So is there any evidence he actually said that and wondered about it?
He was a very lively guy, and there's a lot of evidence that he thought about and joked about that kind of thing a fair bit. You know, and he was very, I don't know, ribald or whatever. He, you know, he'd make a lot of jokes about his penis and what could or couldn't be seen, and his, you know, taking his trousers off. And there's a scene in the movie where we do a bit where he actually kind of, what he would do quite regularly, which is kind of like break up on the set by pretending to, you know, like something with Lois where he says, "Do you want to see the real Man of Steel?" And he takes his pants off and he's sort of like pawing at her. And then, you know, the chief comes in and says, "Great Caesar's ghost." And, you know, he says, "More powerful than a locomotive." You know, he was the sexual innuendo, and jokes like that, I think, did a lot to and talking about how obviously foolishly revealing the outfit was, did a lot to kind of mitigate that embarrassment of feeling like a grown adult working on a television show. And as a way, kind of reminding themselves that they were adults, you know, and trying to hold on to their dignity in some way, ironically.
You know, in George Reeves' case, he was typecast in that Superman role and couldn't break out of it. And, you know, a lot of people have drawn parallels to, like, your life in the sense, not that you were held hostage by a role, but by your private life for a period of time because of the whole Jennifer Lopez thing, the whole Bennifer thing. are there ways in which that you identified with Reeves?
There are a number of ways in which I identify with Reeves. I guess there is a sense, kind of what you're alluding to, is there is a typecasting that happened then, which is about, you know, I can't watch George Reeves in this movie and take him seriously as Captain Stark because I just think of him as Superman. And I can't get that out of my head, and that's all I'm reminded of, so I have no ability to suspend disbelief and follow along with the story. I think there's the modern equivalent of that is similar but not the same, which is you can get typecast as yourself. In other words, audiences become so familiar with, particularly because of the proliferation of all these entertainment kind of media outlets, which is basically, you know, gussied up tabloids, whether in print or in electronic media, that, you know, because there's so many of them and there's this bigger audience, there's a bigger market, they run out of material, so they have to kind of create material, and then they really, you know, they overdo the sort of inane, like the truly pedestrian, to the point where, you know, you really know what, you know, some actor, maybe an actor you don't even like, or whose movies you haven't even seen, how what they look like taking out the trash, and what their marital status is, and where their kids go to school, and what they look like in the morning before they've put their makeup on, or whatever it is. You get inundated with these images, you know, that it becomes hard to think of the person as a spaceman or as a, you know, as D.H. Lawrence or something. You just think that's not D.H. Lawrence. That's the problem with that kind of typecasting. And I think because I was in a kind of high-profile relationship right around the time when media companies discovered that there was a bigger market for this entertainment pop culture stuff than they thought. And so everybody knew, as you say, that's this like a nickname for a relationship or, you know, details about a relationship that seem – it's just – kind of, you can't believe other people know those sort of things about somebody else. It's like stuff I don't know about, you know, good friends of mine.
Yeah, well, the idea of being typecast as yourself so that people can't believe you playing a role is really interesting, and that certainly rings true. You know, in playing George Reeves in Hollywoodland, he's actually having an affair through the movie with the wife of an MGM studio executive. And the press basically doesn't cover that, and there's another studio executive whose job it is to make sure that stories like that don't get covered, that the stars are protected. So did you think a lot about the difference between press coverage of movie stars then and now?
Yeah, I thought I yearned for those days. I couldn't. I thought, how wonderful would it be? How much better would my life have been? Career, everything, psychological well-being, if there was some, you know, velvet hammer enforcer guy who every time the press wanted to write something about, you know, ugly about someone's personal life, they just went around and broke their ankles. The idea is just so appealing.
Ben Affleck speaking with Terry Gross. His movie Hollywoodland has just come out on DVD.